The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, we're going to start off by just doing a little bit of a postscript from yesterday on Mishlei 23:1-3. I'm not going to read through all the questions again, but this is when you sit to eat with a ruler, you should surely understand who or what is before you. You should place a knife in your throat or to your throat if you are a master of your soul, which it seems like most of the mafarshim we did either said if you are a Baal Taiva or if you are someone who cares about your perfection. Right? Those are the two main things. Do not lust for his delicacies. It is false food or inconsistent food, inconstant food. Okay, so we wanted to do today the we saw a Meiri Derech Nister, which looked intriguing. So he said, "Oh, do you want packets or should I just use the screen? Let's use the screen." Okay. You take packets. Okay. Okay. So he says on the page Tuf Resh Mem Zayin, left column. So Chazal in Chulin Daf Vav Amud Aleph explain this. B'talmid hayoshiv livnei rabo, with a talmid who sits in front of his rav. V'lilchom, and which we translate it as to eat bread. Kmo luchu lachamu v'lachmi. It is like in Perek Tes Pasuk Hey, which is when you come to eat my bread. I think that's what it is. Klomar shekashiteshiv. When you come to learn in front of a chacham, understand very well what is before you. If you recognize that he is able to answer, then you should ask him. But if not, do not embarrass him. Place a knife at your gullet. You should fence yourself in, fence in your mouth to not ask from him and embarrass him. V'im, we'll read the whole thing, then we'll go back and understand. V'im bal nefeshata, and if you are a bal nefesh, klomar im ata bal midos. Oh, that's a different interpretation. If you are a person who has midos, mikol makom al tisav l'mata mosav, do not lust for his delicacies. V'lechem kazavimu. Now this is going to be weird. How's he going to translate that? If it's a chacham, right? Achar she'ino maspik lecha, since it is not sufficient for you. Ella hishtada lifrosh mimeno. Rather, you should strive to separate from him. Eh? Like, is this something from the Chacham who can't answer the questions you want?
Maybe the questions that can't be answered, or that he isn't.
You're saying separate from the
Questions.
From the questions. I mean, that would make sense if the food in the mushal is the Chachma that you're dealing with, but mimenu is from him. Okay. I'm just trying to see if I can read it in a way that is, I'm not sure what that means. And what does that have to do with midos? Because it's not sufficient for you. Not sure what he means there. Let's go on and just see. I don't know if this onefarish, I don't think this onefarish is a completely separate interpretation. Or we'll explain, if you are a bal nefesh, davak im al tisav. That might be going back on do not desire. I thought that's what it was going back. Oh, okay, sorry. The first in bal nefesh ata means that if you are a bal midos, then you should not ask him questions to embarrass him. Okay, and then he's saying the al tisav l'mat mosav is a separate thing, which I still don't understand. Or you can explain that in bal nefesh ata is going on don't desire his delicacies. Klomar im ata roi ba'atma hayosecha bal nefesh yisera v'chashuva. If you see in yourself that you are a bal nefesh yisera, that's not like the Shabbos nefesh yisera. Someone who is has a higher level or prominent soul. V'sheosu hachacham eno maspik lacha b'limudcha, and that chacham is not going to provide you with your needs and your learning. Al tisav, then do not desire. Ela parosh mimenu, separate from him. Interesting. I mean, I'm just.
Who is he talking about?
The audience is a little hard to understand. I mean, what I would say is like this: is if you're going to learn from a chacham, okay, and you see that he can't answer your questions, then there are two things that you should do: is from a mito standpoint, you shouldn't embarrass him, and from your own learning standpoint. Then this might not be the best person to learn from if he can't answer if you're asking questions that he can't answer, then maybe you should get yourself another rav, Yeah.
Maybe the inconsistent part is that he is inconsistent at sustaining you and your learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be better. And by the way, I'm doing bad methodology here, which is that we did not read the Meiri on the Derech Nigla. So it's possible he spelled out translations of words that we're not really realizing. Yeah.
Didn't we read it yesterday?
I don't think we did. We did the Sadi Gon Ravina Yonah. Yeah. So this is kind of reminds me of, I've quoted this before, but what Rabbi Moskowitz, talked about the problem of when you're starting out in learning, how do you know which teacher to go to? Because, you know, if you knew how to learn, you'd be able to evaluate whether the teacher is good to learn from, you know. What?
There's more material.
Yeah, I know. We did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing, let me just make this point. Okay. Moskowitz asked the question of like, how do you know who to learn from if you're just starting out and learning, you know? Because, you know, like, let's say it's some technical area, especially like Gemara, right? How do you know if your Gemara Rebbe is good if you've never learned Gemara before? So he said, you know, find the Rav who consistently answers your questions to the satisfaction of your mind. And that's the best criteria you have going for you. Like, that's all you can do. Because at the end of the day, you have to rely on your own mind, you know? So it could be, the reason why I'm bringing this in is it could be that this Rav maybe does have a lot to offer you, but at the end of the day, this is a learning relationship. And if you're not getting your questions answered by him, then it's not going to advance your development in the best way.
Right. He's not saying like leave him in the dust. He's saying like, he's just not a good match for you.
Yeah. 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 This is not necessarily even a reflection on him,
right,
but it's not a reflection on the matchup. Okay. Next, v'chein yesh lefarsho al malas harav. So too, you can say that you can explain it that this is about the rav. Bin tavin. So this is a new interpretation, but still in the same framework. Bin tavin as asher lefanacha. Understand what is before you. Asharas kvodo. That is warning you about treating him with respect. Klamar afa pi shehurshisa leishav lefanav. Even though he has permitted you to sit before him, he's bonin la'amod befanav lefi kvodo biyura uve'ema. You should contemplate. Or you should, you know, I don't know what the word to Rizbona would be here. La'amod b'fanav. I assume this is like standing up for the Rav, right? Like he's leishiv and la'amod b'fanav l'fi kvodo b'yira v'ema, in accordance with his kavod in fear and awe. The samta sachim below acham, place a knife to your throat. Rotzalom or liskor pischei picha, guard the gates of your mouth. Rak kafi atzorach v'ha'hechreach, only in accordance with what is necessary, and according to what he permitted you. Even what he permits you to do, you should guard yourself in. Like someone who recognizes the elevated status of another. The sakin, sakin is not a knife. Sakin also means a fence of thorns. Okay. Like in the, I thought I was going to quote Mishle. Kinyan, hasir masuchto. There's a pasuk in Mishle that says, kimesuchas chadek, like it's fenced in with thorns. So, saying that. Val tisav lamat mosav, don't desire his delicacies. Efshar lafarshal, al tirae, or tire, I'm not sure. Atzmacha, kamachazik, atzmacha, karoi, lios, me'okhli shulchanu. Do not see yourself or do not act like outwardly as someone who like has seized upon himself to be one of the or is muhzak as someone who can eat at his shulchan, to the point where you find yourself lusting after his delicacies, meaning that's a good one, to understand the secrets of his chachma, right, the esoteric ideas. Kizet tochelas mimushacha, that is a protracted hope, meaning one that's not going to be fulfilled, something that is not going to be forthcoming for you. Okay, or you can say milchama, lilchom is to do war, when you wage war with your rabbi. Klomar kishetavu laseis v'laseis imo bin tavim. When you go to wage war with your rav, you should understand what's before you. Klomar shetisa v'titen imo derech kvoda. You should wage war with him in a respectful manner. Kmo she'amru zal b'rishon shel kiddushin. As they say in the beginning of kiddushin, al chacham she'amru la'aviv lo litni mar hachi. The master shouldn't teach like this. Amar lo echan migdolehem. And one of the gedolim, I guess, in the Talmidim said to him, "Shinana, sharp one." I think that's like a critical term. Lo tema le la buchachi. Don't talk to your dad like that. V'chein hu v'samta sakin below acha. So to place a knife to your neck. Klamar shetasim geder b'dibrach. So he's saying, I think he's going with this idea that sakin is a fence. Place a fence to your mouth, meaning your speech. Who actually inyan ba'asu siag l'Torah? That's the same idea as a siag l'Torah, making a fence for Torah. K'mo shebi'arti b'mukomos b'masachas avos. V'al tisav l'matam sav, don't desire his delicacies. Klamar al tefute l'hakel b'kavodo l'sibas matame devarav. Do not be tricked into taking light his kavod, into like making light of his kavod, because of the delicacies of his words. Ki musaro yivi ehu l'kach. His musar should bring you to such. I'll takel bechvodo ki alze anush te'anesh, because he'll be punished about this. Okay, what I want to do, okay, this is like the Meiri, like, you know, sometimes the Meiri has like, it is definitely this, and this is how you should explain it, but sometimes it's like, it could be this or this or this or this. When he does that, I feel like the main thing is to get, like, what's the main approach that he's saying here, you know? And there's a lot that's going on. Yeah.
I think the main thing is, there's ways that a Talmud could slip up and cover it up.
Yeah.
And it's saying you got to be extremely careful.
With yeah. It. Right. And what does it stem from? Because I think we can connect this to the approaches that we've, oh no, we can't. It doesn't connect to the approaches we did yesterday. What do you think is the cause of this? He's kind of like alluding to it a little bit.
Like comfort or familiarity.
Yeah. Because the thing is it's a relationship. There is a certain freedom in the relationship in terms of asking and answering, you know, like it's not usher to, you know, like, it's not like, okay, in other societies, then the relationship between a student and a teacher is one of extreme deference to the point where like, it's a purely like passive role where you don't question anything. You don't argue, you don't challenge, you know, that's clearly not Judaism's thing. Like Judaism does permit you to engage in war with your Rebbe. Right. However, you know, the emotions don't distinguish between quantities. Right. So like, it's very easy to go overboard either in the way you ask or what you ask or the language, you know, and he's saying that you have to like set up active fences to prevent yourself from straying into that territory. An amusing example of this is with both Rebbe and Rabbi Moskowitz. You know, if you listen to the early TTL Shirim, you know, with the guys who had Rebbe as a high school Rebbe or as a camp counselor. So the way that they talk to him is very, very different than the way that people talk to him now, you know, or people talk to him in later years. You know, my favorite example of this is like, you know, if you ever have the opportunity to see Rabbi Fox, you know, my the principal of NYHS, I guess Rabbi doesn't, is not going to be giving public share, you know, but if you've ever seen him talk, you know, in Rabbi share, it's like jaw dropping how overly familiar he is with the, I remember the big example of this was like, Rabbi gave a svara. And I think Rabbi Fox is like, oh, that's cute, you know? And like, and similarly, when Rabbi Moskowitz used to come to YBT, then all of the guys in YBT would relate to Rabbi Moskowitz as like one of the gedolei YBT, which he is, but all of the people from Seattle relate to him as a high school Rebbe. So the standards were very, very different, you know, of the two. And like, it could come across as disrespectful. And I think the reason why I'm giving these two examples is because I'm not saying that Rabbi Fox was doing anything wrong. I'm saying that you should be cognizant of how people will view your Rebbe Talmud interactions, because Kavod HaRav is not just for you. It's for the Rav and it's for the standing of the Rav in that Chachma society. You know, another example of this is, and I was thinking about this once Rabbi Gober came to teach here. there is a cassette tape I have somewhere of everyone in Shir standing and Rabbi Gober in the corner and everyone's yelling at him at screaming at the top of their lungs. And he's screaming at them at the top of his lungs. And it was just like this. And this is my first year in yeshiva. And I was like, wow, this is different, you know? And like, because back then he wasn't Rabbi Gober. He was just like one of the older guys, you know?
You
know the deal that? No, it was a cassette tape somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe an MP3 CD, but I have to find it. Cause it was like it was, you know, I was like I noticed, like, even I noticed that maybe this is crossing the line, you know, so it's, the point I'm making is that it is a delicate balance that on the one hand, okay, let me approach this in another way to get an idea. Yeah.
He was giving a shir.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But people wonder, this is a whole separate sugya. I'm just bringing it into this. People wonder why, you know, in the Masorah, there's a rich history of insulting, a Bali Masorah of insulting each other in very sharp language. You know, famous examples are, you know, the Ravid against the Rambam, or like Ariel was quoting to me a Ramban, where the Ramban says about the Ibn Ezra, like, Ibn Ezra departed from his own principles and is being misnabed b'sheker. It's like seeing false prophecies, you know, you know. So, or kim misnabed b'sheker, you know. So the question is, like, why do the Bali Masorah engage in such, you know, like strong language, you know? So in some cases it's polemical. Like the reason why the Ravid did this against the Rambam is he felt that the Rambam's aura of authority was in danger of warping the Masorah, or warping people's estimation of how to weigh him as a posek, because the Rambam didn't quote any other opinions, didn't quote any sources, and just laid down the law. And the Ravid Davka wanted to break his authority in the eyes of people. But the question is, like, in conversations, you know, Ravid wasn't talking with the Rambam. So in conversations, why are the Chachamim insult each other? So anyone have any shittas on that? Like, in the Gemara, right? When they record, like, you know,
I mean, I have a thought.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, I mean, kind of similar to, like, the ones you were saying about the Rambam. But, like, if they're quoting something that they know is wrong, mm-hmm. that they know that they don't like,
yeah,
then they know that if they're not, like, staunchly against it,
yeah,
people are going to read the Gemara and be like, oh, well, you kind of go either way.
Right. So that's for other people. That's for polemics, yeah. Right? So and that's totally a correct answer. Like, you can definitely say that, right? But, like, you know, and maybe my premise is false, but I get the impression that, like, you know, it seems like they were having these insults and stuff, even when it wasn't for the sake of the audience, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it's because if you have a certain type of relationship, then that isn't a violation of kavod.
Okay, that definitely could be the case, right? That and that's what he's saying, that there is, you know, there is a certain permission that the Rav grants his Talmidim to talk in certain ways. So I have a different theory, though, about why it, like, okay, whatever. This is my own theory. I don't have any evidence for this. Okay. That, you know, we talk about the Milchamta Shel Torah, which is that all of your energy is invested in, producing clue tokens. Yeah. All your energy is invested in seeking truth. Okay. And when I say all your energy, it's not just an intellectual thing. It's your whole psyche. Okay. And there's a danger that if you hold back too much, so then you're not going to be fully investing all your energy in that. And so there's going to be a certain thing where, like you need to, like, let loose and fully, like, be able to say to your chavrusa, like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard, you know, like, you know. And again, it has to be in a way that is conducive to learning. Like, if both of you are not on the same page, then that's going to be destructive, right? If a person's going to be insulted by it. But, like, you know, when I remember Rebbe told me in my first year of yeshiva, he said, when it comes to learning, then politeness is nothing but superficial nonsense. That was the line. And again, he doesn't mean in terms of like, if both of you are on the same page, you know, and he's not talking about, you know, so in the actual pure act of learning, like, there's another Gemara that says when a Rav and a Talmid sit to learn, they're like oivin or sonezezez, like they're enemies. But when they leave, then they're like oavin, you know, then they're like friends. So it means that you need to be able to unleash all of your psychological energy into the learning process and to defend your truth, you know, again, with intellectual honesty and with humility to back down when you're wrong. So because you're letting loose all of these forces, there is a danger that you're going to breach Kavod HaRav, you know, and it's a delicate, delicate balance. You know, if it's your Chavir, that's one thing. I mean, you should, Kavod Chavirecha should be also a thing. But, like, you know, I'm not giving a formula for how to make these calculations, but, like, there's a delicate balancing act of forces here. That like, you know, you can't ignore one of the categories. Otherwise, if you're too deferential, you will not seek truth like you're supposed to, you know. And that's the problem of it's in a Baishan Lomid in disguise. You know, really, it's Baishanus you know, and you're not asking questions that you should ask, but it's disguised itself as Kavod HaRav. And if you go all in on like the cutthroat like attacks, you're going to be endangering your relationship with the Rav and the societal impact of, you know, the societal esteem that the Rav is held in, you know. So there's probably more to get here, but I think that was, it's interesting. Interesting. So yeah. Okay. Let's stop that. And then we'll do Q&A. And is this a question on that or a Q&A question? Okay. So let me stop this and I will.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.